Well, good morning, and welcome once again to University Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you this morning, and particularly if you're visiting with us, we are delighted to have you with us. We are a congregation that desires to be passionate about the glory of our God and committed to bringing the gospel to our neighborhood, to the nations, and to the next generation that follows. And if you're visiting with us this morning and want to learn more, want to have more information about our church, I'd love to meet you after the service, talk with you. Please hang around and introduce yourself. This morning, I want to invite everyone to open, if you have a Bible, to Luke chapter 6. Over the next few weeks, I want to take us through a couple of passages that have been kind of in the back of my mind for a number of weeks and months. And the first of these is Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. And this was a passage in particular that weighed heavy on my heart as I was preparing to direct YXL this year. YXL was the camp that our students went up to last week. And our goal at YXL is not simply to fill the students' minds with information or even to change their behavior during this mountaintop experience and send them home, but really the goal of YXL, the goal of all ministry should be to see the gospel connect to the heart. The heart, throughout Scripture, in the Old and the New Testament, is seen as the control center, the command center for our being. The heart is the thing that governs, that directs the way we think, the way we feel, what we desire, what we long for, what we love. And even culturally, we understand this. We speak this way, don't we? We say things like, "I love you with all of my heart." When someone is working really hard, you might say something like, "He's really putting his heart into it." When we say those things, we're saying that, man, he's investing everything that he has in that work. Or when a man confesses his love for a woman and says, "I love you with all of my heart," he's saying, "I love you with all that I am, with all of my being, from the deepest core of who I am." And the Old and the New Testament really share this view. It's the heart above all else, that is at the center of our being. Governs what we do, what we think, what we say. But you also, on a cultural level, hear people today say things like, "I need to follow my heart." Or they'll advise you, perhaps, to be true above all else to your heart. And this is the point at which our cultural understanding and our biblical understanding of what the heart is begin to diverge. We would agree that the heart is the center of our being, but Scripture cautions us that we cannot, we should not always trust our heart. In fact, our heart will quite often lead us down dangerous and destructive roads. Let us look at the words of Jesus this morning and see what he would teach us about our heart. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Our Lord says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from bramble bush, A good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, in this moment, we ask that you would have mercy on us, that you would grant us clear understanding, you would grant us humility, and that you would shape us through the power of your Spirit by the truth of your word. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. So when we returned last week from our vacation, one of the very first things that I did was go out back and check my garden. Earlier in the spring, we planted tomatoes and chilies and beans, and I was interested to find out, after being gone for so long, the condition of my garden. I came back and I found some plants completely shriveled up and dead, some hanging on by a thread, and others thriving, doing just fine. The good plants had beautiful red ripe tomatoes ready for us to come home and pick immediately, chilies beginning to form and grow. The beanstalks, for the most part, were dried up and withered, and not even a hint of fruit was to be found. There are several things I could have done when I came home to inspect my garden. But the easiest, the most simple way to know what was good and what was bad was to look for fruit. The good plants produced good fruit. The bad plants didn't produce anything at all. And Jesus makes one point in this short passage. Our actions and our speech flow from and reveal the condition of our hearts. Our actions and our speech flow from and they reveal the conditions of our hearts. We could break that up into two statements. Really, Jesus first says that our actions and our speech flow directly from our heart. You notice this in both verse 43 and 45. He says, no good tree bears bad fruit, and inversely, no bad tree bears good fruit. In the same way, verse 45, a good person out of the good treasure of his heart will produce good. An evil person, on the other hand, out of the evil treasure which is within him, produces evil. Just as a good tree is known by its fruit, the condition of our heart is affected, is revealed by our actions, our speech, the words that flow from our mouth. The other side of this is stated in verse 44. Not only do our actions and speech continually flow out of our heart, but these same actions, the same speech, reveals the very condition, the nature, the health of our heart. This is what Jesus says in verse 44. Each tree is known by its fruit. The health of that tree is identified by the abundance, the health of the fruit that it produces. And the variety, the nature of that tree in the same way. Figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from bramble bushes. I wouldn't come home looking for tomatoes on my beanstalks or chilies on the prickly pear. Each tree produces its own fruit. Our speech and our actions, Jesus is telling us, in many respects, are a window. They give us a picture into our heart. If the heart is always the goal of ministry, if our desire as leaders at YXL, if my desire as a pastor is always to see the gospel penetrate and to touch a heart, my heart, your heart, us at the deepest core, one of the challenges in that is that we can't see one another's hearts. Your heart is largely hidden from me. Even the heart of my own wife, of my own children, those who I know most intimately, most closely, at many points is a mystery. But Jesus says our actions, our speech, the way that we interact with one another on a daily basis, the words that we use, the speech that flows from our tongues, in a very real way, is a window into our hearts. Everything that we ever do, everything that we ever say, flows out of our hearts. And as a result, also reveals the character, the condition, the nature of our heart. Why is it that you do the things that you do? Why does your spouse do the things that they do? Your children, your friends, your neighbors. Why can your toddler be so difficult? Why can some people be so critical and controlling while others so gracious and kind? Why are some of us so selfish and greedy while others generous and forgiving? Why do you grumble and complain? Where do your critical words, your judgmental spirits come from? Where does your spouse's patience, her gentleness, his love come from? All of these things and so many more, both good and bad, Jesus says are an overflow of our hearts. Every word that we ever speak to our spouse, to our children, to the man or woman sitting behind you this morning, are an overflow of our heart. You know, it could be tempting for us to say, well, I'm an impatient father because my children don't listen. I'm an irritable wife because my husband never helps. I'm a short-tempered boss because my employees are unreliable. I'm a condescending person because no one else around me ever knows what they're doing. We could blame other people, our circumstances, on how we act, how we treat one another, the words that flow from our mouth, the actions that proceed from our hands. Our speech, our impatience, our temper is more than just the result of a lack of sleep or irritability that comes because we're hungry. Every single one of these things, Jesus says, in one way or another, are an overflow of the heart. As an illustration, on Sunday morning or at any other time, if I was running around the church with a cup in my hands, if we were to bump into one another, doesn't matter how hard we collide, how soft that collision might be, whatever it is that's in that cup will come flowing out. If it's water, it's water. If it's coffee, it's coffee. The collision, the bump, doesn't place the coffee in the cup, the water in the cup. Rather, the collision, the bump, simply serves as an occasion to reveal what it was that was in my cup to begin with. Beloved, we collide, we bump into one another all the time. It's human life. in a crowded place like Las Cruces. When you collide, when you bump into other people, the question that Jesus is calling you to answer this morning is what? What falls out of your cup? What flows out of your heart? What are those collisions, those irritations bring to the surface? And Jesus says, therein we see the true nature, the condition of our heart. In this sense, our Lord is calling every single one of us to take responsibility for our actions, for our words, for the things that we do and say when we bump up against one another. But beneath this text, there's another truth. While on the surface, Jesus simply tells us that all of our actions and all of our speech flow out of and therefore reveal the condition of our hearts, really what Jesus is driving at, the reason that he speaks in such black and white terms, is because he's emphasizing to every single one of us the universal need that we have that our hearts would be changed. Jesus' words, these verses really reveal two deeper truths. First, where our change must take place, and second, just how radical that change needs to be. It's a change that has to take place at the level of our heart. Not just the level of our tongues or the level of our hands, but deep down at the very core and the center of who we are. And it's a complete radical reorientation of that heart. Many of you will remember years ago the terrible oil spill that happened in the Gulf of Mexico. If you're in mid-high and high school and you don't remember seeing the pictures of oil rolling up into the shores of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, pictures of oil covering the surface of the water like a black canopy. What happened is that around 9:45 a.m. on April 20th, 2010, high-pressure methane gas from an oil well located 5,000 feet below the sea ignited into flames. It exploded. 2 days later, an oil slick began to appear on the surface of the water. It would mark the beginning of the largest oil spill in history. And one of the images that stuck with me was how you would really see two different pictures. On the one hand, I remember seeing all these pictures of these skimmer ships working over the surface of the water, trying to just skim the surface to remove as much oil as they could, while simultaneously you see pictures of an open well 5,000 feet below the surface pouring out oil into the water, trying to clean the surface of the water, even as they're trying to address the root problem, even before they try to address the root problem that laid far below the surface. It took 5 months to close up the pipeline. And the oil that we saw on the surface was only the beginning of the problem. The source of the problem existed far below the surface of the water. There was a broken pipe, and it didn't matter how much oil was removed from the shoreline or from the surface of the water, until that well was capped, nothing would change. And beloved, Jesus is challenging us in a similar way. When we sin, when we speak harshly, when we act rudely, when we blow up in anger, when we turn away from one another in bitterness and an unforgiving spirit, Jesus is challenging us to recognize that the problem doesn't lie on the surface. The problem lies 5,000 feet below the ground. Where does this sin come from? For you, perhaps it's anger. Perhaps it's anger with one very particular person. If you could think of such an experience this morning, I wonder, what's the heart behind that anger? A desire for control? Insecurity? Fear? Is it selfishness? Is it jealousy? Is it envy? Until we know, until we're able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to understand and to get at the very heart of what we do and why we do it, we're simply cleaning the surface of the water. It's like pulling weeds, and you never quite get down to the root. Yesterday, after all that rain came, one of the things I did is I went out into the backyard and tried to pull up as many weeds as I could while the ground was soft and while the roots would rise. But what happens if you simply go out with your lawnmower and cut over the weeds? The roots remain, and the longer the roots are there, the deeper and the deeper and the deeper they go into the ground. How much effort do we put into cleaning up simply the surface of our lives? We're focused so often on externals, but in this very passage, our Lord, in all of His mercy, draws our attention below the surface. He draws our attention to the heart. He reminds us where change needs to take place and just how radical this change needs to be. But beloved, thankfully, He also introduces us to the solution. Throughout His ministry, Jesus presents Himself as the one, the only one, who can do just this: transform our hearts, transform our lives from the inside out. Throughout Scripture, we have this promise. The promise of the gospel is not simply that in Christ you receive a new record, the guilt of your sin is washed away. Not only do you receive a new relationship with your Father in heaven, but at the heart of the gospel is the promise that you actually receive a new heart. That God will take our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. That the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. In this very moment, the Spirit of Christ is at work in the life of His people, molding us from the inside out into the image of our Lord and Savior. That's the hope of the gospel. The fact that Christ would actually take thorn bushes and turn them into fig trees. The fact that He would take bramble bushes and turn them into grapevines. Much later, at the very end of His ministry, John chapter 15, Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that will bear much fruit." In a similar way, Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For whosoever believes in me, as the scriptures say, out of his heart will flow rivers of flowing water." The picture of the gospel, the hope of the gospel, is that all of those who are in Christ are like a branch that's connected to a life-giving vine. You're like a spring that is constantly fed by an underground source of water. That's our hope, that you have a new heart through Christ Jesus. The reality is, as I came home to my garden, I found some plants healthy and strong and others struggling. What did I immediately set to do? To tend my garden. I'm by far not a master gardener, but I repaired a few sprinkler heads. I improved the soil. I pruned some branches. I pulled some weeds. And a week later, a few of those tomato plants that were struggling, a few of those bean poles that were struggling, are beginning to perk back up. Beloved, the reality is your God is a master gardener. And if you see fruit in your life, even the smallest of fruit, evidence of his Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You see this fruit sprouting up in your life in even the smallest ways. The hope that we have in Christ is that we are not only connected to the vine, but you have a God who cares for you, who will prune your branches, who will tend to his garden. Our longing must be, our prayer must be, that our God would change us from the inside out. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are a life-giving vine, a true and everlasting source of living water. And we rejoice this morning in the fact that we are united to you by the ministry and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would work within us, that we would be men and women who bear much fruit for the glory of your name. And we ask this in that name. Amen.